All right, hey, what's up, guys? We have Skyler here. He's a comedian in the UK. I actually just got your name. We just met on Reddit and are like doing it right away. So, what's going on, Skyler? How you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I'm just fucking chilling. I've been drinking all day, writing jokes, fucking just, you know, having a good day, enjoying my time off. What about you? How's your day going?
It's going good. So is it night there or what time is it there in the UK?
Yeah, it's like 10 p.m. I think. Yeah, half 10.
Okay, but it's like midday here in America. So when you were like, let's drink or whatever, I was like, I don't know if I'll be able to do that. But normally I do drink, but on the podcast, but not like during the day. So yeah, so you're a comedian. And how long have you been a comedian for?
2 months now. I have not been a comedian for long in terms of doing stand-up comedy. I've played around with doing different forms of like online content and stuff, you know, but not a lot with stand-up. But I fucking love stand-up. When I first did it 2 months ago, it's like, it's all I want to do. I spend all my money traveling to Manchester to do stand-up.
So is that what you're doing now?
Yeah,
I mean, you traveled to Manchester, and that's where you are now, right?
I'm not in Manchester right now. I don't live in or too close to Manchester, which is why I have to travel there a lot. So I have to spend about 60 quid each time for like a shitty hotel room and a train ticket to get down there just for one night so I can fucking do a set and then come back. And so it's expensive, but like it's worth it because it's the only way to get practice.
Yeah, so where are you now?
I'm in like Lancashire as well, sir. That's as close as I'll get, which is in the northwest of the UK.
Okay, I don't know the area that well, but yeah, so you're English then. For some reason I thought you were Irish based on your like, I watched a little clip of your YouTube video and it sounded like almost Irish.
But you're
English, though.
Yeah, I'm English. People often confuse my accent with either Irish or Scottish for some reason. I'm not sure why. But yeah, I'm English. I was born in England, always lived here.
Okay, cool. So what kind of stand-up comedy are you into then? What, like, who do you like?
Just like dumb shit, really. Just like talking about life, talking about my life. My family, you know, the different things that I do in my life, like the dumb shit that I do, making fun of myself a lot, because I think it's good to like take the parts of yourself that you really don't want people criticizing or knowing about and then putting them publicly and just making light of them. So like I have one joke I'm writing about it. This is like a really embarrassing story from about 2 years ago when I lived at my mum's place. I got really drunk one night. And on the walk home, I was like, this is really embarrassing, but it's going to be a good fucking set. I was holding in bowel movements, right? But I was so drunk. What I didn't realize till I entered my house was that because I was so drunk and I couldn't feel anything, and I was on the verge of blacking out, I fucking walked in my house and my mum was like, what the fuck is that smell? I had shat myself because I was so fucking drunk. And I went into the bathroom to take my clothes off and there was just shit everywhere. It was fucking gross. But it's a funny story because it's like, it's gross, but it's like, it happened, you know? Like it's...
Yeah, for sure. What comedians are you into though?
I'm into like Theo Von. As I said, just like dumb fucking comedy like that. Duncan Trussell. I like some of Bill Burr's older stuff. Less his new stuff, because I feel like he gets pretty repetitive a lot of the time. And recently I've been watching Sam Morril and... Oh, what's his name? Mark Normand.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I know about those guys. I've recently kind of got into, like, the Joe Rogan group. Like, those guys, basically.
Yeah.
And Like, I don't know. Like, even though, like, I don't know. Like, I like those guys you named, I liked. But at the same time, like, I don't know. A lot of the people in his group that goes on his podcast, I don't think are that funny. Like, they're funny, but, like, they're not that funny. So I watch this guy on YouTube called Red Bar. Have you heard of Red Bar by any chance?
No.
He, like, basically makes fun. Like, he'll pull up, like, clips of these people and just kind of make fun of them. But don't get me wrong. I think all those guys you named are funny. But it's, I kind of like watching like the gossip going on with all of them. Like, you know, like the, you know, like the Brennan Schaub stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Brennan Schaub and
Brian, I'm not familiar with him.
Oh, Brian Callen.
No, I'm not too sure about them.
Okay. They're like part of like that same group. But so yeah, how old are you?
I'm 19.
Oh, 19. So you're young.
Yeah. I turned 19 last month.
Yeah. So are you doing stuff like on TikTok and like YouTube, Instagram? You kind of said like social media stuff.
Yeah, I have my TikTok set up and I'm going to post clips from my stand-up sets on that. And same with YouTube, that's what I'm going to do. I post my stand-up sets on my YouTube. Right now there's only one up because I only have one good one that I like that I want to like publish. But over time I want to add to that. And I also have another YouTube channel where I originally made philosophy content. And when I was making the philosophy content, I did like it, but it wasn't really what I wanted to do for entertainment. So I've started taking my sets and my jokes and editing them to work in a YouTube video format. So that's what I've been working on recently on that channel, where I've just been making funny fucking just videos talking about different topics.
Yeah, what kind of philosophy are you into? Because I've actually kind of wanted someone to come on and talk like philosophy and stuff.
I like all kinds of philosophy. I really like ethics, metaphysics. I'm a big fan of primarily just all sorts of stuff. I really like the more out there kind of existential, spiritual kind of stuff. There's nothing that I necessarily hardcore believe in on that front, but it's very interesting to talk about just like the way the universe is and just how fucking insane it is. And just the way human beings act and interact with each other and treat each other. I found that really, really interesting.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, like I've recently kind of gotten into like consciousness and stuff like that. Consciousness and like you said, metaphysics and so like what are your thoughts on like consciousness and all that? Like,
well, it's a fucking trippy thing. So I've done a lot of psychedelics. So I've done a lot of acid primarily. And the thing with acid, what that like the mindset that got me in around consciousness is that so you can perceive reality in like any number of ways. So you can see reality in this way that we're seeing now, or you can see it in these insane geometric patterns and entities when you're like on DMT or acid or whatever. And the thing that blows my mind is reality doesn't have to be perceived in any specific way, even visually or auditorily or in terms of sensations. And so people said the brain creates consciousness, but the brain doesn't even have to let you know of the idea of a brain. It doesn't even have to show you a brain. It doesn't have to. It could present your body in the form of a fucking tree for as long as it wants. It can make a second last infinity. So I'm more edge on the side that consciousness creates like the brain, if that makes sense, as opposed to the brain creating consciousness.
Yeah. So would you say you're more of like do you know about like idealism and materialism? Would you say you're more of like an idealist because like you believe?
Yeah,
we're kind of like living in consciousness.
Yeah, I'd say I'm more of an idealist than in that sense, because I think it's all like a product of mind. But when you get into like the dualistic side of things, you could say that they equally consciousness and material reality create each other at the same time, and they can't exist separately, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all like super interesting to me. So who are some of the guys that you like maybe take from, like David Chalmers and like Daniel Dennett, those types of guys?
No, I'm not too familiar with them. I listen to a lot of Alan Watts, a lot of Ram Dass. I really like primarily those two. Brian Cox is a good one. And just listening to different psychedelic theories about shit, because I think psychedelics really show you a lot about just the nature of consciousness. Even if you can't understand it, I think it has something to say about it just inherently. And so I just listen to a lot of theories surrounding the around consciousness in relation to psychedelics and the psychedelic kind of culture and mindset. Dan Hoffman, I think his name is a good one as well.
Is it Donald? Yeah, Donald Hoffman. Yeah.
He
like have you listened to like the Lex Fridman podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like he recently went on there and was talking about how like what we see like isn't really like the way it looks, right? It's like we've been we evolved to see things a certain way, but it's like I'm not really sure his views on consciousness. Like, I don't know if would he be considered an idealist or a materialist?
I'd say from what I gathered from the Lex Fridman podcast, I'd say he's an idealist.
Yeah. So I mean the only way that like idealism like really makes sense to me would be if we are living in a simulation, right? Because it's like if we're in a simulation, then everything is kind of essentially, it's kind of like if you're living in a computer, like, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, I don't even know how to really explain it. Like, everything is like not as it seems. And so we're kind of like living in a video game, basically. But like the way that I view things is like, you know, like this desk, you know, I think this desk is like really here. Like, I think that everything is really here and like really like material. And I don't really see any reason to see otherwise. But I guess it kind of goes back to what you were saying about the brain, right? Where it's like, like there's no way for, I don't even really know how to explain it because I'm not good at philosophy, but like there's kind of like no way, I don't even know how to, you could probably explain it better than me, right? Like there's no way for the brain,
there's no concrete like reason why this is like more real than like a hallucination of any other kind, because it's just the same stuff being perceived by whatever the fuck is perceiving it.
Yeah. And then like quantum mechanics kind of gets into that, right? Where it's like, it's not like when you look like really closely at everything, it's, what is it? It's just kind of like energy or something. It's just kind of like, I can't really even explain it, but like, it's not really like rock hard. It's kind of just like,
vibrations.
Aberrations and like waves, right? Isn't that what they call it?
Yeah, it's really trippy. And one thing I find really, I'm not even going to pretend to understand quantum mechanics because I'm not a quantum physicist.
Yeah.
But the thing with like quantum mechanics realizing that is like, if you listen to Alan Watts talk about, he was talking about stuff in like the 70s, 60s, I think as well. Or any like maybe Buddhism, a lot of like old spiritual philosophy talks about this exact thing of everything just being vibrations. And I find it really interesting that now this that science is now coming to this realization itself, and the scientific method is very good at like figuring shit out, so it's nice to have such a concrete method figure out the same thing that these spiritual practices have been, these spiritual modes of thought have been intuitively saying they believe the world is like, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. And what about Sam Harris? Do you listen to Sam Harris? Have you heard of Sam Harris at all?
I've listened to a bit of Sam Harris. Yeah, I haven't listened to much of him, but I do want to get more into him. I've only really listened to a few episodes of his podcast because I used to be very into Jordan Peterson, and he was kind of in like the same like group that he was in, the Intellectual Dark Web, which is now kind of disbanded. But yeah, Sam Harris I really like because he does a good job at secular spiritualism, I believe it's called, where you take these spiritual concepts and practices and then you explain them and look at them from a secular point of view, which is less like out there and more understandable to most people with a scientific mind.
That's Jordan Peterson you're talking about, or Sam Harris?
No, Sam Harris. I think Jordan Peterson's much more out there in terms of his like spiritual beliefs. There was one episode of his podcast with who's that super like, he's like super hardcore atheist, science, like old kind of guy.
There's obviously Sam Harris, who's like kind of like anti-religion. There's Richard Dawkins.
Yeah.
I was actually going to ask you about him.
I don't know much of Stephen, what was his name again? Sorry.
Richard Dawkins.
Richard Dawkins. I don't know much of Richard Dawkins. I haven't listened to much of him. But I know vaguely like what he's like and what he believes. The reason I don't really listen to him is because I feel like he's very ignorant when you hear him talk. He's not very open to other modes of other points of view. He kind of just has this very hardcore materialist atheist viewpoint, and he just like doesn't care to expand or explore outside of that much. But Jordan Peterson had this episode of his podcast with Richard Dawkins. And Jordan Peterson said, this is why I think he's on the more woo side. He said psychedelics, because Jordan Peterson's done mushrooms, apparently. He's done like psychedelic trips. He did a 5-gram mushroom trip, which is considered a heroic dose. And he said that he believes that psychedelics can take you down to the atomic level, which is like a very out there idea. And Richard Dawkins was like, that is absolutely ridiculous. Like, he was like completely roasting Jordan Peterson for holding that viewpoint.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised to hear that Jordan Peterson's done psychedelics, but for some reason I didn't know that. I thought he was more of like a straight-laced type guy. But yeah, I was into Jordan Peterson before, but then like recently I just like can't get into him because he's gotten like really like anti-trans and all that kind of stuff. Like if you follow him on Twitter, he's just constantly like posting, like to me, which is like just kind of like negative stuff. But then it's like weird because like, I'll watch him on an, like I literally just listened to him on, you know, Bill Maher's podcast. Yeah. I listened to him on Bill Maher's podcast recently, and he was just like fine. Like he's not like a dick at all. But for whatever reason, like on Twitter, he just goes after these people.
Yeah,
it's like I don't really agree with like how like kind of like mean he could be. What do you think about the whole trans stuff, that's all the trans stuff that's going on right now?
I am trans. I've been on HRT for 2 months now. I'm a trans woman. I know I don't look very feminine or sound very feminine, but yeah, I'm a trans woman. I've been transitioning for 2 months, at least as far as HRT goes.
I didn't know that unless you put it in your Reddit. I was kind of like wondering, I can't like fully tell, like, you know what I mean? Like, but so you're fully transitioning from a male into a female?
Yeah.
So how's that going? So obviously you're not, like, obviously you can't be for Jordan Peterson now, right? Like now that you're transitioning. Yeah.
Well, this is the thing. I loved Jordan Peterson back in like when he was doing his like self-help stuff, because he had some of the best self-help. Like a lot of these self-help people just kind of give shitty advice. But Jordan Peterson was amazing because he's a psychologist, you know, he knows his stuff a lot of the time. But over time, I don't know what happened. My guess is because he was being unfairly judged by a lot of people online in the beginning. So I think he got pushed more towards further right-leaning areas because they're the only people who would accept him. And then he ended up going on the Daily Mail, which has like people like Matt Walsh, who are actually just fascists. And I don't
Ben use Shapiro. The word fascist.
Yeah. I don't use the word fascist lightly, and like a lot of people tend to, but like Matt Walsh, for example, is just an actual self-proclaimed fascist. And so when you're in those groups,
he's a demon.
Yeah, he's a cunt. When you're talking to those people all the time, and you're going to get into like an echo chamber, and you're going to start getting into those modes of view and just further and further extreme. And Ben Shapiro even said he was more left-leaning originally, and then he got pushed into like the Daily Wire kind of people, and then he's become more and more right-leaning over time because of that. And there's nothing inherently wrong with being
Ben Shapiro was more left.
Yeah, that was his whole thing originally. He was like more left-leaning.
Or he was kind of like in the middle or whatever. He was never like fully left, right?
Well, he had more traditional views, but he was generally more left-leaning back in the day. And then he just has been going further and further right. But yeah, it kind of sucks because Jordan Peterson used to be so good. And then his Twitter's funny, though. Like, I know it's like fucked up and it's mean, but it's fucking hilarious because he posts like a 13-year-old edgelord. Like, he'll retweet pro-trans, content with an image attached of just the Joker, with nothing else, just images of the Joker. He's gone through his edgelord phase at like 60.
Well, Elon Musk is too, I've heard, right? Like, he'll like post like memes on Twitter, and it's like, dude, you're like a 50-year-old like billionaire. Like, what are you doing posting on here all the time? But do you think Jordan Peterson's do you think he's trolling at all online? I mean, I don't think he is. I think he like really believes what he's saying. But like, do you think there's a like you were saying, there is like an audience capture. So I think he is doing it. He's become more right because of that, because of like the Joe Rogan like group like liking that, and he just gets more and more popular. But do you think there's a certain part of him that like knows what he's doing and is doing it intentionally just to kind of like get a rise out of people?
Honestly, I can't tell whether he's grifting. I think he actually believes what he's saying, because he is I think he's more religious than he really lets on, and I think he is genuinely very bought into the idea that like trans people are these like terrible fucking like creeps. Like, there's an episode of Joe Rogan with Jordan Peterson, and I love this clip, it's fucking hilarious, where he's talking about trans people and he's like, "You're saying it's not sexual? You're tucking your bloody dick in between your legs and looking in the mirror pretending it's vagina, and you're saying that's not sexual? Bloody right it's sexual." And it's like, what the fuck are you doing, man? You're like 60 on a podcast, like generalizing about some group that like isn't doing anything. Like, I get the concern some people have with it, because it is like, gender has been this very like set in stone thing for a long time that we've seen. And now if you've grown up with this very set in stone idea of gender, it's very scary, because that was part of your structure of reality, is women are like this and do this, men are like this and do this, and there's outliers, but generally that's the case. And then when you're seeing this breakdown of your structure of reality, like when people are on psychedelics and their ego starts breaking down, they freak out, they think they're dying. Like, these people are freaking out, they don't know what's happening, they think society is dying, because it's like part of society's identity is like collapsing.
Yeah. I think people need to chill out. Well, yeah, exactly. To me, like, it's a very old school way of looking at things, and like, it doesn't matter. Like, it, in my opinion, it shouldn't matter. Like, it's like, if you or someone else decides to be male or female, like, it's not going to break down society, and it shouldn't affect anybody. But I think there's this very old school way of thinking from, you know, Jordan Peterson and people of his age, that it's like, yeah, exactly what you just said, which is just like, this isn't the way it should be. And then they broaden it to like, our civilization is crumbling because of it. But yeah, like, I saw Matt Walsh go on Jordan or Joe Rogan's podcast. I don't know if you watched that one, you know, 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah, they
all are. But, and it was like, Joe Rogan was able to like just defeat Matt Walsh like extremely easily. It was like, why do you have a problem? Like, I think Joe Rogan for the most part agreed with him on the trans stuff. But then when they got into like the homosexual stuff, he's like, why do you care if two gay people get married? He's like, well, like, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Like, you know, the definition of marriage is a man and a woman have kids. And he's like, what about a man and a woman that don't want to have kids or can't have kids? You know what I mean? And it's like, it was pretty easy for him to just like, it doesn't really matter what the definition of marriage is, because it's like, anybody can make up their own definition, right? It's like, just because somebody made it up, like, I don't even know when marriage started, like 500 to 1,000 years ago or whatever. It's like, well, I mean, first of all, it was probably bullshit back then, because back then you would actually like pay for someone's daughter, right? Isn't that like how it started or something? It was like,
yeah,
I'm gonna like buy your daughter or something, and like
it could have,
it was like arranged.
It depends on the culture, but it often was like arranged, because originally, this is the thing, they're saying like marriage is falling apart, but originally what marriage was a way of building a social like structure, like a kind of a group. So if you're like rich, you want to get another rich family to kind of keep it in that like rich like kind of group and make sure you're both well off. It was literally just a like a networking thing, like realistically. And then it's evolved, like all things, it evolved, and then this idea of love came in, where it's like you want to marry someone you love, and then it's just evolved over time, and it's just evolving again. Like, yeah, it's not the same as it was. Nothing ever is. Things change.
Yeah. I mean, so like the big question that I have to you would be, you being like a trans woman, like, okay, so to be honest with you, to me, it is kind of like strange or whatever. Like it's not something obvious. It's not something that I would want to do. I don't judge it. I don't care. Like, it's totally fine. I'm for it, if anything. But do you think that it's becoming like more and more culturally kind of popular, or do you think people have always just kind of wanted to be trans and like they just kept it in the closet for forever, and now people are just finally coming out? I mean, I know it's still a very small percentage of the population, right? Like below what, 5%, probably 1%?
Even lower. It's one, and in America it's 1%, in the UK it's 0.1%.
So what do you think's going on when people like Jordan Peterson and these guys kind of like say how it's becoming normalized, kind of, and like people
like a social
supposedly
contagion.
Yeah, and like kids supposedly want to do it now because it's like cool or whatever. Like, do you think there's any truth to that, or do you think it's just people were just hiding it for a very long time?
I think there's a few things I'd say on that. I don't think it's that, maybe in some places, but in my experience, it's still not considered cool from what I've seen. Like like a few weeks ago, I was out with one of my friends who's also trans, and a bunch of teenagers walked past us and like showered slurs at us, told me to fucking lift up my skirt, fucking like just shouting shit, because it's not accepted, at least from what I've seen, it's not very accepted. It's more accepted, but it's not as accepted. And on the idea of it being a social contagion, I think there's two main things that play into that. I think one, there is, do you know of the history of left-handedness?
Yes.
Yeah, so just for anyone who doesn't know that's listening, left-handedness used to be very frowned upon. It was seen as like, I don't know what it was seen as, but it just was very frowned upon. You'd get punished if you were left-handed socially. And as that started to stop like happening, as left-handed people started becoming more accepting and being more accepted, you saw a huge increase in the amount of like left-handed people that were around, because more people who were left-handed were just happy to openly be left-handed. And on top of that, I think awareness of the fact that trans is a thing is like what's causing a kind of increase, in the sense that people are coming to the realization where I don't have to fit into these specific norms, because any person who knows jack shit, because even I feel like a lot of trans, especially younger trans people, don't want to admit this or don't get this, is that sex and gender, they're different. So it's like, I'm a male, but then it gets even weirder, because it's like, I have secondary sex characteristics of a female now, because I'm on HRT, so like I have some tits, so I've got female characteristics and I've got male characteristics, and that's for everyone. Everyone has part female and male characteristics, and we base sex off chromosomes, we actually base off genitals, which is like one single characteristic of someone's sex. And so sex is like this whole fucking complicated thing that I don't understand. I'm not going to claim to understand. But it's not as simple as dick is male, pussy is female, because it's just like there's a whole range of different traits you can have that are typically associated with each sex. They're just labels we use. And then there's also gender, which is the things we ascribe to. Originally, it was like, for example, the males would hunt, the females would gather like food and stuff from like berries and shit like that. And these roles became associated with these sexes. And the roles that started becoming associated with these sexes kind of became their own kind of thing that we recognize called gender, where there's gendered things. So like pink is, it's not female, but it's gendered as a woman thing in our culture. It hasn't even got a sex, but it's gendered. And so even if the argument was made that I'm still male, I could still be male and be a woman. Like I could have majority male sex characteristics, but act and live under the roles and typical characteristics of what we typically associate traditionally with females. And so it's not ignoring like biological reality like some people think. And I think a lot of people are realizing this. And then I mean, okay, so I don't have to fit into this like role of man or woman that was set on me. I can, you know, associate with different roles, and that doesn't necessarily mean that I am that gender, but if it's more comfortable to me, then it's more comfortable to me. So I think more people are becoming aware that maybe living as the opposite gender is just more comfortable for them. Because if you've never heard of being trans, it probably would never even cross your mind that you could do that for most people. And so it's like hearing that, if that does resonate, you're going to be like, oh, okay, let me look into this. And then maybe act on it. So I think it's a mix of the left-handedness kind of thing and a mix of awareness, making people aware of what they're feeling inside already.
Yeah, I mean, the argument gets kind of like convoluted to me, because it's kind of like, I mean, I asked my girlfriend about it like a little while ago, but it's kind of it's kind of like, I forgot the exact question that I asked, but basically it's like, I mean, like you'll admit like you were like born a male and now you're a female, right? It doesn't go so far to where you're like, you know how they'll say you've always been a female. And I'm like a sympathizer.
Don't worry about being offensive. Okay. Honestly, it's fine.
But it's like, the way that I look at it is like when Matt Walsh in his documentary, you know, What's a Woman or whatever, I would just say a woman has a vagina and a man has a penis. And I don't really get the difference between gender and sex. Like is sex more about, so even though you have a penis, you still feel like you're a woman, like you still are a woman basically. Like, I don't know. It gets kind of confusing. And
yeah, I know it is confusing. It took me a while to even understand, because I didn't even understand really what I was feeling at first, like, and like shit like that. So it took me a while.
At what age did you start to realize you're a female? And then like what kind of, I guess, feelings do you
thank get? You, yeah. Well, it's kind of interesting. So when I was like really young, there was a few moments where like I kind of wanted to associate more with the girls, but I couldn't, because it was like, you know, boys and girls were kind of not segregated, and it was false segregation, but you know, girls are like boys are a key fucking, and then like, you know, typical young people shit when you're in school. And so I don't know why I did this, I'm fucking autistic, that's probably why. I would like kind of just sit at the side of the playground and just watch everyone play and just kind of sit in thought. And it was just like I wanted to associate and play with, and you know, just with the girls, but and not with the guys. But it just socially, that just wasn't going to happen. And then I kind of just ignored that, passed that off, fucking did whatever. And then I remember there was one time when I was maybe 12, where or 13 maybe, where I was like, I went to the toilet, and I was just like, I was thinking about trans issues. I was like, what if I was trans? And I was like, I'm not going to think about that now, because if I am, that's like, I don't want to deal with that if I am. So I'm just going to not fucking care to think about that.
How old were you?
12 or 13.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was, so when I was 15, I started doing acid. And when I was 16, I started doing a lot of acid. I was doing it like every week, just like constant high doses of acid. And like it was great, but like it kind of broke down like my whole idea of who I was, and like all these like attachments I had to like who I was and what reality was and shit like that. And it kind of sent me on this whole like journey of like rediscovering myself. And the question came back around Eventually, probably, I don't remember whether it was on one of my trips or if it was after one of my trips or what. But as I was rediscovering myself in this two-year-long journey that I had, and like trying to rebuild myself back up after I just destroyed my entire sense of self, I kind of came to the realization that I just felt more comfortable associating with more feminine stuff. I was more feminine than I wanted to than I wanted to believe, because I heavily judged like very feminine guys and shit. So at first I was like, I got into like femboy stuff because I was like, okay, maybe I'm a femboy. And then there was some trans people in like the femboy communities I was in, and I felt like I more associated possibly with them. But then I went on this like whole journey again, and I was like, okay, maybe I'm trans. I came out and then I changed my mind. I was like, no, okay, I'm not, because I got scared, because it was like that perception of me, of like being trans, like having that label and the things people might attach to that before even knowing you. So then I uncame out, and then I went on another journey of discovery and re-came out, and I made a whole video. I deep dived into the science behind transgenderism. I don't like that word, but transgenderism, for a lack of a better word, because even though I felt like I was trans, I felt like it didn't make logical sense to be trans, and so I wouldn't let myself go through with that because I thought it was like wrong or like just not logical. I tried to repress it, or at least not act on it in any way. And then I made a whole video looking into it, and I realized that it actually does make sense logically when you look into like the difference between sex and gender and the way what makes up sex, because it's very complicated, as again I don't understand it, and then what makes up gender, because sex is biological, and then gender is sociological. And so for a long time, we kind of associated sex and gender as the same thing, but realistically, they aren't the same thing. Gender was coined by sociologists like a few decades ago. And after I went in that deep dive, that's when I accepted the fact that I was trans and started to kind of explore that side of myself. And then it still took a few years to even come to terms with it and accept it. But luckily, my friends helped with that.
Yeah, I have like a lot of questions. But I'll start with where do you think, so you said from a science perspective, what do you think is going on like scientifically, or I guess like evolutionary wise, like, because I mean, I know there's like trans animals, right? Like some frogs can turn, or certain animals can like kind of like change genders. So do you think there's like a reason why it happened kind of evolutionary, or do you think it's kind of just like an outlier, or like
I don't think it has anything necessarily to do with like the same thing that makes like some frogs able to like transition between genders, because I feel like that's like a different kind of thing, because their transition they can just do innately. We have to deal with like medications and stuff, and I mean you don't have to take medications to transition, but generally that's what it entails. And so it's more of you have to get it externally to do it. So I think it's less similar to that. So I don't really like the argument. But first off, I will say male and female brains are not actually that different structurally. And there is some differences, which I'm going to go into, but generally they're very, very similar. They're more similar than they are different. But they did a study with trans women before they did any hormones, any medication, any surgeries or anything. So pre anything trans women. So they still have, you know, they just haven't done anything medically. They haven't transitioned. And they showed cis men movies, and then they showed trans women the same movies, and then they showed cis women the same movies. And over all that, they were tracking their cognitive responses and emotional responses to the movies that they were watching. And they found that trans women's brains cognitively, before any hormones or anything, cognitively responded more similarly to the cis woman's brain than the cis male's brain. before any hormones or anything. And so there is science to say currently, although very limited science, but currently the science points in the direction that just naturally before any medications, trans women's brains seem to cognitively act more similarly to cis women's brains than cis men's brains.
Yeah. Do you think there's a possibility that, like, back in the day, maybe from an evolutionary perspective, like, men would have to kind of pretend that they were women, or women would have to pretend like they were men, just to kind of like survive? I like that literally just came to me right now. But you know how everything is supposedly kind of from like an evolutionary perspective, like, you can kind of explain why men are men and women are women or whatever. I mean, do you think there's a possibility maybe something like that's going on? Because I kind of think it's like when I think of like serial killers or something, like, there's just, and I don't want to relate trans people to serial killers, but when you think, why are people serial killers? You can think, well, at one point in time, like, we literally had to kill, like, we were animals, right? And we had to kill. And so there's a very small percentage of the population that still has that like killer instinct in them. And I guess they just can't get rid of it. But from like a trans perspective, do you think that maybe something like that was going on? Or do you have any idea from an evolutionary perspective what's going on?
Honestly, from an evolutionary perspective, I'm not too sure, to be honest. I think there has been like, there's like a lot of cultures throughout history that have they've like had people who like were born male but then live as women, and so that this is like, it's not a new thing. Like, it's, we've recognized in different ways in different cultures the difference between sex and gender a lot, and like some cultures, even like our culture, does not respond well to it, but there's a lot of cultures that respond really well to it and like put them on like a pedestal because they understand both sides of like the lived experience of men and women. And so they see that like that perspective that they have as unique and beneficial to the tribe, because they can join the two sides together because they've experienced the lives of both. So maybe
what cultures have done that?
I'm not too sure about the specific cultures that have done that. I think there's some Native American tribes that have done it in history, some tribes in the Amazon that have done it, I think. I'm not going to claim to be an expert because I'm not. I just know that is a thing that's happened in history. So it could be that maybe it evolved as a way of bringing people together. Because then there's a group of people who have seen both sides and can understand both sides more, and then like just help equalize the playing field and explain to both sides from the perspective of the opposite side that they're talking to, the experience and of the experiences that they had and think need maybe improving on or whatever. I'm not sure. This isn't entirely a guess. I could be completely wrong.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Like, you have a culture that they need to kind of like combine, the men and women, as opposed to having two separate, like, men are the fighters and women are like stay at home with the babies. They need to kind of combine forces or whatever. So do you listen to like Hassan Piker at all, or like H3?
I'm not a fan of Hassan. I like Destiny.
Oh, really?
But I don't like Hassan.
Even though Hassan's super like pro trans, right? And like, what about H3? Like, you think Klein?
I don't really listen to H3 either. The only person, like those people that I listen to, is Destiny. But I think Hassan is too ideological. And I've listened to some H3, and I feel like H3 honestly is a grifter.
I don't like the funny thing is that you say that, it's like when you were talking about Jordan Peterson, I think they're like Jordan Peterson, Alex Jones, all those guys, even a lot of like the Joe Rogan group, are all grifters. I don't see H3 as being a grifter at all. Like, I think that like Ethan Klein, I can see why he comes off as a grifter. Like, he's kind of like, he does like that shock and like gotcha, like interview type stuff. But it's like, I see him as being like pretty like genuine to himself, especially his wife. I mean, it's like, I see both of them as being like pretty genuine. Like, I definitely think he does the thing where he does like the shock value thing intentionally. And sometimes it comes off a little weird, but like, do you think, like, have you listened to like The Leftovers at all? Like with Hassan Piker when he goes on H3?
No, not really. I've like watched Hassan and I've like listened to some of his content. I will click on a video sometimes, but I don't generally watch him. I don't mind listening to people I don't agree with a lot on or don't like, because I like the
different. Well, what do you not agree with them though? But it's like the only thing that I was gonna say real quick is that like I feel like they might go like a little too hard for certain sides intentionally, maybe, but it's like I don't think that's bad necessarily. Like they definitely support trans, they support homosexuals, whatever. They're very liberal, and maybe it's like intentionally because they know that their fans are. But I kind of feel like that's what everyone is supposedly doing. Like, you know, Dave Rubin.
Yeah.
Like he does that like on the opposite. Like he's gay, but like he's, and same with Candace Owens, like where they're like, you know, she's black, but she's a hardcore Republican or whatever.
Yeah.
But anyways, like, do you think that Hassan's kind of like in, and Ethan, I guess you were saying, are like grifters that are like indigent, I can't think of the word, insincere?
I don't necessarily think they don't believe what they're saying, but I don't think they necessarily have well critical thought out reasons for why they believe what they're saying. I think they intuitively believe what they think, and then I think they use what they intuitively believe to figure out, they take what they intuitively believe and then they research to support that claim, as opposed to researching and then believing off their research. I think they're based more on what they intuitively believe, which I think can be really damaging, because it can get you caught in a corner if you are trying to defend, if you're trying to defend trans people, for example, and you didn't get to your place of like supporting them through actual research, but instead just out of an intuitive sense, and then supporting your intuitive sense with research. I think if someone gets you in a corner in a debate, then it looks really fucking bad, because you're not going to give up what you believe, because that's what you intuitively believe. But you're going to insist that you're right despite lacking the ability to support the claim anymore. And that's going to look really bad on you. It's going to look really bad on just the whole idea of like supporting trans people or gay people in general, because it shows a degree of ignorance. And I think when anyone sees ignorance, especially if they have a confirmation bias of like, or the left is ignorant because they're more right leaning, then that's going to add to that, and it's going to send those people further right. Whereas like someone like Destiny, for example, who's more centrist, are you familiar with Destiny?
I know who he is. I saw him like a little bit on Lex Friedman, like when Lex got like mad. Did you see that clip where Lex got mad at him because he kind of called him like a coward or whatever? He called those like people who like tweet like Republican things like cowards, and Lex is like, Lex got all mad, and it's like, I don't know. I just feel like all those fucking guys like Lex Friedman and the whole Joe Rogan group are all just trying to kiss Joe Rogan's ass. That's like what fucking bothers me about it. It's just like,
maybe, yeah.
I mean, don't you get that vibe? I mean, Theo Vaughn, I like Theo Vaughn, but it's like the rest of those, his group. But anyways, what about Destiny? Sorry.
I don't know if they might be trying to kiss his ass. I think they have a lot of respect for him because he is such a veteran. I honestly, if I'm going to be
honest, I think it's kind of like bullshit respect though, because it's like, I think it's more of like intimidation, the fact that he's like the biggest guy and they know that like he basically made their career. But anyway, sorry, go back to Destiny.
Yeah, the reason I like Destiny as opposed to those people is because I feel like Destiny, instead of having an intuitive sense of what he believes and then supporting that as much as he can, I think he researches and takes what he gets from his research and from what he sees, and he does a really good job at researching and coming up with his viewpoints, and he takes his viewpoints from his research as opposed to his intuition, which I think when like, so he is generally pro-trans, that he had some controversy because he didn't support trans people in sports, but I don't think that's necessarily an issue because there is biological advantages there. And so he supports trans people, but he can defend his arguments for trans people better than anyone, because he's came to that belief that trans people are like valid through actual research, as opposed to just feeling like they are and then supporting that. He has actually, he has like such a well-structured belief system that it's hard for people to trap him in a corner where he seems ignorant. And not to say it doesn't happen, because it probably does, but generally speaking, he is pretty hard to trap in a corner, and he's caused a lot of people to go from like far right leaning to more centrist, or like a bit more left and a bit more accepting of like trans issues and stuff, much more than someone like Hassan has, because Hassan is much more ideological, I think, as opposed to someone like Destiny. Whereas you're not going to get a right-leaning person who listens to Hassan and then changes their mind. Like, that's not going to happen a lot. Whereas with Destiny, because he has some right-leaning views, he has some left-leaning views, a right-leaning person is more likely to listen to him because he's less ideologically inclined and more based on logical structuring of belief systems and properly understanding the issues that he's talking about.
But what is the logical debate? Like, I feel like the debate would be kind of just be like, okay, like you're a person, you want to be trans, you want to be a female or whatever, you can do whatever you want. Like, it's like, why should I, that's the debate. Like, what's more to the debate? Like, it's kind of like, you would have to prove it from some sort of evolutionary perspective, like I asked, or scientific, right? Otherwise, it's just a decision that you're making. And it's like, you, like the only decision that goes against the decision that you're making would be a religious one, would be a moral, some sort of moral argument, which is kind of like, oh, like you shouldn't do that. And it's like, so it's like, if you're a Christian, basically, I think that you probably just oppose it. But if you're atheist, you probably don't care, right? I mean, it's like, is there any kind of scientific, like we talked about before, is there any kind of scientific debate backing it besides just your decision? You have the right to make whatever decision you want.
I think what you said just then in terms of like, well, there's nothing there but like a moral thing, like a religious moral thing. It could similarly be argued that it's a kind of dogmatic moral view to say that people get to live and present in whichever way they want, because that follows individualism, and there's a collectivism which isn't inherently religious but is just as valid as individualism, and collectivism might have a good argument against that since considering the amount of turbulence that is being experienced around the idea of people transitioning. I don't agree with that, but someone could make that argument. And someone
there should be none, though. There should be no turbulence. There's such a small percentage, it's a 1%. It's just, who cares, you know?
Yeah, I do agree, but I do think there is good arguments. That doesn't necessarily mean they're valid arguments. There's valid arguments. Let me ask you this. That can be made against it, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the viewpoint is correct. You can make a great argument for fucking gassing the Jews, but it doesn't mean you should gas the Jews. It's still fucking wrong, regardless of how.
The whole thing, though, is you can't make a good argument for gassing the Jews, because it's like, I mean, you could in terms of, no, you can't. I mean,
well, Hitler wouldn't have taken over Germany if he couldn't have made a good argument for gassing the Jews. He convinced.
It was just because it was evil. I mean, it was just because I think it was kind of like scare tactics, right? It was like,
yeah, but it was still, that was his point. That was his, like, he used tactics and he used different things to make an argument that was convincing to the people, and the people bought into the argument because it was good enough in the context that it was said. And granted, Hitler, terrible person, shouldn't gas Jews. I feel like I probably don't have to say that, but like, the point is, you can make a good argument for any terrible viewpoint or any terrible thing.
I don't really agree with that, but I mean, because like, there's no good reason to gas the Jews. It's not a good reason, but it's like, if you're in wartime and we need to kill people, but then why the Jews? Like, you know what I mean? I guess it's like, we need to kill the enemy, but it's like, I don't think the Jewish people in that situation were necessarily like, even like the enemy, the Jews, but that's a totally different thing. I mean, it's like, I just don't think that you can make a good argument for like just mass genocide, right? I mean, it's just like what are you going to say?
Make a lot of great arguments for mass genocide. I don't agree with them, but I think you can make a really good argument for it.
What's one of them? Like, he just tried to convince them that all Jews are bad people, which doesn't make any sense, because each individual Jew is different than the other individual Jew. I mean, it's just like, but we're getting, I'm fine if you want to go into that, but it's an interesting conversation to have, but
we can't. All right, I feel like I should preface this by saying, I'm not like, I don't support any form of fucking mass genocide.
I know, but what point could you make that would be a good one from Hitler's perspective?
So Hitler's point of view was that the Jews had a lot of power and they controlled a lot of the financial aspects of things. And there was, and there is, it is true that there is a lot of Jews in power. Granted, this does not mean that Jews have this like innate advantage or anything, because just because, like, Jordan Peterson made this point around people like calling men oppressors, like where they say, oh, well, men control all the high, like men are the majority presidents, men control.
Yeah, men are powerful, more powerful than women. It's just like,
there is a, it's actually, if you really logically think about it, there's only a small subset of men that control all of this. It's not men, it's a small subset of men. And so it's like, Hitler had this idea that like Jews controlled all of it. Realistically, it was a small subset of Jews. It may not even be that they were Jews that they got up there. It could, maybe there was a Jewish like family like that had good connections that just caused a lot of Jews to be in there. They just, or maybe they just so happened to be Jews. Who knows? But the point is, it wasn't Jews that were controlling everything. It may have been a small subset of people who were Jews, but it had nothing to reflect on Jews themselves. However, if you don't see that, you could make the argument that, well, look, Jews are controlling this. This is, the fact they control this is taking away from our economy. It's causing our people to suffer economically. And so we need to get rid of these people. So, you know, you try fucking like send them off. You try to send them away, which all this is fucked up. You try to send them away. They won't fucking leave, which is what he did originally. He tried to like get rid of them by sending them to like a different like place without killing them, and then eventually he just fucking killed them. But the idea was that they were fucking up the economy, and there is an argument to be made that a small subset of Jews were controlling and fucking over the economy a bit. And so the argument was a good argument. It doesn't mean it was a perfect argument. It doesn't mean it was, the claims that it was arguing for are inherently correct. It just means that he could create a good argument out of the data and context of the situation that the country was in. He could make a good argument with that to the point where it was convincing to people. And that's realistically part of what makes a good argument, is it convincing? And if it's convincing, then it's a pretty good argument, because the point of an argument for your point is to convince people that you are correct. And so you can make a completely great argument full of logical fallacies that actually has like no logical standing, but it's a good argument.
No, yeah, I see what you're saying. You're right. He obviously did do that. And it's like, the whole thing is like, in wartime, you can kind of like convince people of any, like, I mean, obviously, if, I don't really know the, you know, like, I don't think the Jewish people were their like enemies, but like, obviously in wartime, it's like, kill your enemy at all costs, right? So it's like, you just make someone your enemy, essentially, and you could just say, kill them. And if you're the leader, so like, obviously you're right, like in, but under normal circumstances, I would say that, but anyways, I get your point. Like, you can basically make an argument for anything, like you said. Now, getting back to like the trans issue, it's like, I don't think the trans issue is nearly as problematic as like the, you know, genocide of Jews. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
like I come into contact with like pretty much no trans people on a day-to-day basis. I know none. I've worked with one. It's not that big of an issue, but for some reason, these people are making it a huge issue. And it really kind of, I don't know. I mean, it kind of comes off to me like they're just kind of like uncomfortable maybe with the idea or something. It's kind of like, oh, like I'm not used to trans people walking around in public. Like Jordan Peterson, you know, thinks that, like, but I mean, do you think that, so you seem to be pretty, you seem to be, and I've noticed this a lot about a lot of like trans people and homosexuals, where they seem to be pretty open-minded, even though that they are trans. Like, you would think that like, because you're trans, you would hate Jordan Peterson, you would hate Tucker Carlson, you would hate all those, and Matt Walsh, whoever. But you seem to have a pretty open-minded viewpoint. Like, you're like, well, Jordan Peterson, like you said, Hassan doesn't make a good point, but maybe, I don't even think you think Jordan Peterson does make a good point, but do you think Jordan Peterson has any good points?
I think Jordan Peterson has a lot of good. Jordan Peterson,
well, on that issue,
on trans issues. Not really. I think he has a very ideological viewpoint of it. I don't think it's very based in much of any good, like, foundation. Like, I don't think he has a good foundation for his beliefs on it. I think he just has these, a lot of metaphysical ideas and a lot of, like, based on how his philosophy is about, like, reality and society. I think he has this just innate idea. It's inherently, like, nonsensical and wrong and harmful, but I don't think he makes a good point. He makes good enough arguments to convince people, but I don't think underlying the arguments, I don't think he has a good point.
Do you think that a lot of his the right-wing followers are just bigoted, kind of like somewhat unintelligent and bigoted people who just go along with what he says because they're just bigoted? I guess, you know what I mean? It's like,
one thing that Destiny has talked about, which was interesting to think about, which I agree with, and I think this exists on both sides of the political spectrum, is I think a lot of people who, like, don't have an issue with trans people, for example, I don't think they actually have, I don't think they have a logical reason as to why. I think it's just because that the view is generally more socially, it's more socially beneficial to be accepting of, like, LGBT people. And so I think a lot of people just innately accept it just because it's socially beneficial. But if it was the other way, they'd go the other way. And I think in the same way, I think there's a lot of people on the right who purely believe what they believe just because that is the kind of social groups they fall in, and that is, like, what they've surrounded themselves in. It's kind of the echo chamber that they're stuck in. But I do also think there's some incredibly smart people who are transphobic and anti-trans and don't believe in it. Like, I don't know if he is anymore.
Like, who? Well, Jordan Peterson is intelligent. I don't think it's a matter of intellect with that, but yeah.
I don't know. I think he was. I think maybe the benzos fucked him up or something, because I don't know if he's intelligent anymore, honestly. Ben Shapiro, I think, is pretty smart. I think he's pretty intelligent. Matt Walsh, I think, is a retard. There's a lot of smart people who can fall into that viewpoint. Like, you don't have to be, just because you're intelligent, it doesn't necessarily mean I make two distinctions. Just because someone's intelligent doesn't mean they're smart, right? And what I mean when I say that is that intelligence, I feel like, is someone's ability to logically construct good arguments and logically connect things well, and just put a lot of good thought into their arguments and beliefs. But you can be, like, super intelligent and, like, build your whole belief system around, like, being a fascist, and you have, like, these amazing, like, these super good, in quotation mark, arguments for fucking fascism. Or you can be a non-intelligent person and, you know, have these great arguments for, like, people's freedoms. And it's like, that guy who's a fascist, he's more intelligent, clearly not very smart, because, you know, his fucking viewpoints are retarded, he's a fucking fascist. The less intelligent person, he's focused, maybe by complete chance, but he's focused, he's even if it is a low amount of intelligence, he's focused it on something that is more smart, in my opinion, which is, like, you know, people's freedoms, fighting for that. So I feel like I didn't explain that well, but I think intelligent people can be dumb in terms of what they believe, and non-intelligent people can have smarter ideas.
I see what you're saying. What do you think about Elon Musk? Do you think he's intelligent? Is he one of those guys who's intelligent, but, like, kind of adopted some bad beliefs?
I think Elon Musk is incredibly intelligent. I think he's just socially inept.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that leads me to my next question, which was one of the questions I had before, which was, I don't really know this, but supposedly like a lot of, like you mentioned that you're autistic, and supposedly a lot of autistic people tend to be like into like trans type stuff. Do you find that to be true?
Like statistically, I've heard, like, that's what... is an overrepresentation of autistic people in the, like, if you look at how many autistic people there are in the population by percentage, there is more the percentage of autistic people who are trans than if you look at the general population. So there is like an overrepresentation of the amount of autistic people who are trans as opposed to the general population, which does go to show that autistic people are, granted, not incredibly more likely, but are more likely to be trans. Why that is, I don't know. When I was doing my research, I found out that autism is linked to a androgen insensitivity in utero, and like testosterone is an androgen. So maybe if you're insensitive to testosterone when you're developing, maybe that causes you to develop more of like a feminine brain structure. And maybe that leads to you being trans, but who knows? But there is more trans people. There is more trans people who are autistic than if you were to look at the general population.
Are autistic people generally like smarter too, in terms, or maybe it's just like more focused on, like a lot of the tech people like tend to be autistic, right? Or what's like the functioning autistic one?
Asperger's.
Asperger's, like a lot of like tech people are Asperger's. Like maybe there's like
focus. I did computer science in college. So I don't know how true this chart is, but I saw this chart where it's like, there's, in terms of if you, autistic people, from what it seems, tend to fall on either extreme of the spectrum of intelligence. So this is looking at IQ points, whether how accurate IQ is like up for debate. But I think there is something there with IQ. I don't think it means nothing. But there is smarter autistic people are generally much smarter in terms of IQ, whereas a dumber autistic person is much more likely to be much more dumber in terms of IQ. But there is obviously people who fall just in the average range of IQ who are autistic, but there is a lot more people. And if you look at the autistic population, there is a larger representation of like higher IQ people than in the neurotypical population, but there's also a higher amount of like lower IQ people than the typical population. The typical population generally falls in the average of IQ, whereas autistic people tend to be on either extreme of the spectrum of IQ.
Yeah, because you have like the non-functioning autistic people who don't have an IQ, high IQ, but then you have the functioning people who I guess tend to, I don't know. But then the other question I was going to ask is, in terms of the actual sex change thing, like, I mean, obviously this question is a stupid question because it's like, obviously you're choosing to do a sex change, I think, right? But it's like, let's just say like, I felt like I was more of a woman or whatever. Like, would it, I don't know if I would full on get the sex change. I think that I might just do like the, just like dress in women's clothes or something like that.
I'm
like
just where, doing I used hormones. To wear, I'm not just doing getting hormones. The, I'm not getting the surgery. I don't see, but like if someone wants it, especially if it's good for their mental health, then I think they should do it. I'm not at all judging what other people do with their body. If people are going to benefit from like a surgical sex change, then fucking great, do it. But personally, I think, I don't know, I have what I have. As again, the difference between sex and gender, I don't think just to be a woman that I have to fucking get rid of my dick, like, that's a pretty extreme thing. And as again, if that helps someone, if it benefits someone, they should do it if they want to. But personally, I don't think it's worth it. Also, if you do, because your testicles get removed, that's what produces testosterone. And obviously, if you're a trans woman, you don't want testosterone, a lot of testosterone coursing through you. But at the same time, that means if you lose access to your estrogen from the pharmacist or from wherever you're getting your estrogen, if you lose access to that, then and you don't have your balls, then you just don't have any hormones really running through your body. And that's incredibly dangerous. You'll just slowly decay alive. So it's like, I think that's a pretty... that's a lot of trust to put in the medical system that I'm not putting in the medical system.
Yeah, well, that's one argument for Jordan Peterson, you know, his anti-trans would be, you don't want to do the full operation because, like you just said, it could be bad for you, right? I mean, and then what do you feel about like, you know how like there's this whole thing going on like in schools, at least in America, supposedly they're getting kids started at a young age or whatever. Do you think that's true
I'm not gonna say it hasn't happened because like there's that jazz girl I think who like transitioned really young. There is cases of people transitioning really young, but they're very rare cases. It's not a common thing at all, like the media would have you believe. But it does sometimes happen, but it's often like this is like people want to ban it on a legislative level. But I think realistically what it comes down to is between the parent, the child, and the medical professional. Because like if you really want to think about it, like at the end of the day, it's a medical issue that you're dealing with. Politicians aren't fucking doctors. They should not be making general decisions for every single patient experiencing gender dysphoria. At the end of the day, that it's very context dependent. It comes down to what the doctor thinks, what the parent thinks, what the child thinks. And so I don't think it's really the government's place to get involved in that, really. If there's corruption happening in the medical industry, then obviously, and that's what a lot of these more extreme transphobes believe, but that's generally not actually the case. But I think there are hormone blockers, so if kids are going to transition, they'll be given hormone blockers. Now, some people try and make the argument that hormone blockers have no long-term ill effects and that, you know, you can just stop them and resume puberty. That's not true. Hormone blockers do have some adverse effects that if you don't need hormone blockers, you ideally don't want. And there's also a case to be made where if you do want a sex change surgically, then you know, if your penis does it and like if your testicles don't grow, they can't actually really make a well-functioning vagina out of it because they need to invert what you have. And you know, if you want a deep enough fucking vagina so you can have sex with it, then you know, if you haven't been through puberty, your genitals haven't grown, then they can't really make very well usable vagina out of it. And there can be a lot of complications with using like a small set of genitals to create a vagina out of. And so it's like, yeah, hormone blockers do have adverse effects, but as again, it comes down to the doctor and the child and the parent. Because like at the end of the day, if you have like a kid with gender dysphoria, and like there's cases where like very rare cases, but there's extreme cases where like a kid will try fucking like cutting off their fucking like genital, they want to like cut their fucking dick off because they just like, it causes them so much distress. And in that case, like obviously you don't want them going through a male puberty because they might commit suicide. So if they're almost committing suicide because they're about to go through this puberty, then you don't want them going through it because, you know, you got to like balance the risk. You got to do a risk assessment on it. And so it's so context dependent. It really comes down to the doctor, the child, and the parent. So I don't think the government really can have a say in it because it's such a context dependent thing as to whether a younger person needs medical intervention.
Yeah, so it should be up to, you know, the individual or the individual's family or whatever. So yeah, unfortunately I have to wrap things up because this was last minute and my girlfriend got home, we gotta go eat stuff. But the one thing you mentioned earlier, I'll ask you a couple more questions and then we'll wrap it up. You mentioned ethics. Where do you think we get our ethics from? Like, do you think we get our ethics from religion and the Bible, or do you think it's more of like an evolutionary path we're kind of taking? And do you feel like we're going in more of an ethical way or less ethical way?
I think it's too subject. In my opinion, I think we're doing things, it depends on what we're doing. So I think in terms of like things like equality, I think we're acting in a very ethical way currently. In terms of like things like war, I think we're acting in a very unethical way, just because I think war is very unethical generally. I don't think you can have a very ethical war. There's no ethical way to kill millions of people.
Think that, you know, America and England, I think, are like, you know, some of the nations that aren't at least starting wars, right? It's mainly just like Russia and mainly Russia, I guess, right now.
America does a lot of fucked up shit with war. I'm not too sure about the UK, honestly. I'd stay more up to date with US politics.
I know we do a lot of fucked up shit with war, but it's like we could be doing a lot more fucked. Like, it's like, I don't think we're like going, we're not just trying to take over countries. I think that like we're like going into other nations and like and supposedly supposedly trying to help or something, but who knows, you know,
what a lot of these really terrorist organizations, I'm not going to say specific terrorist organizations that have been called because I'm not too sure on the specific ones, but a lot of like extremist terrorist organizations in like places like Iraq, they developed as a response to America coming in and like fucking killing citizens and like doing all this shit. Like a lot of these extremist groups have developed as a response to people like America and the UK coming in and destroying their country, mainly just so they can get that oil and steal their shit and like take over.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, where do you think we got them? Where do you think we got the morals from?
The morals, I think it's cultural. I think it developed as we have to get along with each other. So like when we're in smaller tribes, I think it just started as like trying to accommodate for each other in the ways that we can. And then as we got bigger and bigger, we have to make more general ethical assumptions on like a more structural bureaucratic kind of level. And then I think over time, the different values people hold, so what people want out of society and want out of their lives, will change the way people hold different ethical viewpoints. And so I think it all comes down to the set of values someone holds and the way those values then create the ethical beliefs that they hold in response to the values they hold. I think they're very closely connected. And I think values generally come from religion, it can come from culture. Those two things are very connected. They can come from responses to specific threats or situations to like create a culture and then create values that do things. Like everything that exists is like structurally came into being for a reason. Like the structures are there for a reason. But I'm not exactly sure. I think it's just the different value sets we've created to live together. And I think when you have such a large scale and cultures like coming into like one place and then clashing a bit, I think that's where we have the difference in ethics and values, and also the different understandings of the way ethics and their values are related. So you can have two people in the same culture with the same values who get a different message from those values and therefore develop different ethical beliefs. And so I think it all comes down to perception and culture, realistically.
Yeah, which is what's going on now, right? Where like, I think overall we have the same ethics and values, but to see them differently. So yeah, I had you on originally to talk about comedy, and unfortunately we kind of diverted from that. But do you want to like plug your comedy or anything? Like where can we see you online or live or wherever?
Yeah, you can find me on YouTube at Skylar H Comedy. You can also find me on YouTube at Polteka, Polteka. You can find me on Instagram at Sky H Comedy, I think it is, or Skylar H Comedy, one of the two. And you can find me on TikTok at Skylar H Comedy as well. But that's it. Thank you for having me on. I've really appreciated the talk. It's been fun.
No problem. And if you ever want to come back on, and I actually mean that, like, because I feel like I had to kind of like cut this one short. If you ever want to come back on, I'll probably ask you on again, because I find all this stuff very interesting and I feel like we could talk more about it. But the last question I have is some of the movies, TV shows, podcasts, music, whatever you're into recently, I guess mainly podcasts, since we talked about a lot of podcasts, what are some that you would recommend?
All day I've been watching, I think it's called the We Might Be Drunk podcast with Sam Morril and Sam Morril and Mark Normand. Yeah, We Might Be Drunk podcast. Obviously the Joe Rogan podcast I really like. Lex Friedman I really like. And yeah, that's really it. That's all I can really think about. I don't watch a lot of podcasts, but those are the Duncan Trussell Family Hour, that one too.
Yeah, yeah. And then what about you mentioned Destiny. Does he have a podcast, or where would you find him? Just on YouTube or something?
Yeah, you can find him on Twitch and Twitch and YouTube. He has done a lot of podcasts with people though, but primarily Twitch and YouTube.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for coming on, Skylar, and I'll hit you up and I'll let you know when this goes up. All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Have a good night.
Bye, guys.
Bye.